So after all this had happened right in front of us, we were determined to go and search for the king whose arrival seemed to be heralded by the comet. Maybe he would be the Prince of Peace who we needed so badly. And that's when the second amazing thing happened. It was almost exactly 5 years after the comet first appeared, and it came just as we were already completing our careful preparations for what was going to be a long journey. A completely new star appeared. This one was not in our charts. It was not recorded by any of our predecessors, but there it was. One day it wasn't there, and the next day it blossomed, and it was bright. It was so bright you could even see it in clear daylight. And at dawn each day, there it was, a little to the north of Due West, and it seemed to be pointing to the homeland of the Jews, Prince of Peace. So, we hurriedly completed our preparations and we set off for the capital city of the Jews, Jerusalem. This is a journey of about 1,200 miles. We had to go north to cross the Zagros Mountains, and then we traveled through Damascus on the old Silk Road. It took us just over 6 weeks. And would you believe it, this new star stayed visible throughout that whole journey. Towards the end, it was fading, and by the time we completed our journey, it had almost disappeared and could only be seen on a very clear night. It was almost as though it had never been there. But many years later, I met some fellow star watchers from Cathay who had also seen this star, and they showed me that they'd entered it on their star charts as a visitor. So, of course, we had not been imagining anything. But I'm digressing. I tend to do that when I talk about stars. Let me take you back to our journey. It was the only time we made this journey, and it was incredible. We passed through some of the wonders of our world. We went through the heart of the Roman imperial power. We saw fortresses and splendor not known anywhere else. We traveled through the southern part of Greek culture, art, and architecture that we could have spent a lifetime studying. It was so perfect. But something else was driving us on, the need to find the answer to the star's message, a need to find this king who had been prophesied. So eventually we came to the district of Judea in Palestine. There in Jerusalem, we came to the palace of King Herod. Its walls are almost 50 feet high. Towers reach out to the side and higher even beyond that. It's an amazing building. And right beside it, there's a temple. The temple has got wall and roof panels which are clad in pure gold and they shine in the sun. It's an incredible place. The palace was forbidding and awe-inspiring. The temple was amazing. If anyone would know where to find this new king, surely Herod would. This certainly felt like the right place. Herod heard we had arrived and he called us before him in audience. And he asked us who this child is that we were seeking. We said, well, the king of the Jews. We said it without thinking of the possible consequences. We said, we followed his star here to Jerusalem and we're searching for him to pay him homage. We brought gifts and everything. Herod consulted his scholars to find out where this Messiah was prophesied to be born. And they said, Bethlehem. Just 6 more miles for our journey then. One thing I ask, Herod said to us, and I remember the way he phrased it. When you return, he said, come and see me again and tell me exactly where to find this child so that I too can pay him my respects. Herod did not look to me like a man who would respect anybody, let alone a child, but we agreed. We left the palace as night descended. It was a clear night, quite cold because Jerusalem sits high on a ridge. I'll never forget that night. It was clear enough that we could still just discern the light of this fading new star. But the star we were now looking for is Jupiter, the king star, which was in conjunction with another planet, Venus. It was early in the year and it rose in the southern sky and it reached its high point, interestingly, right over the road to Bethlehem. So clearly, that confirmed us on our journey. Travel at night through the hills of Judea is definitely not advised, but we were seized with a renewed sense of urgency. So we set off without delay. When we got to the outskirts of Bethlehem, we were, at first, disappointed. It was only a little hill town. But our studies had said that it was also the town where King David had come from. That night, we came upon some shepherds who were out in the fields with their sheep, and we asked them whether there had been an unusual birth. It was like opening a floodgate. They all started talking and jabbering and shouting at once. They were incredibly excited. We only understood about half of what they were saying because they were talking in their own language, but bits of it are quite like ours, and we managed to pick up quite a lot of what they were saying. Yes, they said, there was this amazing night a couple of years ago. They'd met an angel, they said, a messenger from God, and they could take us to the very spot in the fields where it had all happened. In fact, one of them was going, "It was over there, it was over there." We said we'd come a very long way to meet this child. They said they could take us to the house where he was staying with his mother and father. As we journeyed, they told us that the father was undertaking odd jobs about the town just to pay their way. It seemed strange, but we were on a strange journey. When we got near to our destination, one of the shepherds pointed to an open stable cave where some cows were grazing. And he said, "That's exactly where the boy was born. That's where we went that night." I think I got that translation right. Like I say, it seems odd, it was a strange night, but that's where he was pointing. Anyway, the whole town was beginning to wake up with the noise we were making, and other men came out to point the way, and we found the father and the mother and the child in a little two-room house. First time I saw him, I understood why my heart had been filled with such urgency. I understood why our journey had been so compelling. There, sitting on his mother's lap, was God in human flesh. I can't explain how I knew this. It just seemed blindingly clear to me. As soon as I saw him, I found myself kneeling in worship. It was completely involuntary. I didn't plan it. It just happened. My heart was so full of who he was that all I could do was worship and give thanks. If you could only have met him that night, you would have done the same, trust me. One of my companions ran to his saddlebags, and he brought out a purse of gold, fit for a king. This friend had always carefully hoarded his money. He had actually become quite rich. And now, there he was, kneeling at the child's feet, offering up a bag of what he personally held so dear. Amazing. Some of us thought, it's a miracle. My other companion also got out a gift. Frankincense it was. We use it in ritual worship to our gods. We burn it in sacrifice. Now he was bringing it out to give in worship to this child. He said later, "I saw God face to face. It's the only gift I could give." My gift still surprises me when I think about it. I hadn't planned it this way. It wasn't the gift I had brought with me on the journey. It wasn't what I planned to offer. And it took me over 30 years to understand why I did it. I went to my saddlebags and I found a container of myrrh. Yes, it's quite expensive. I had almost overlooked it, but I felt compelled on the night that this was to be my gift. Why, I asked myself. We use it for medicine, for healing. And we also use it for embalming dead bodies. It's something for sick or dead people. It's not a thing you would give to an engaging little boy. I would come to learn later in my old age that this child would eventually die on a cross, killed by his own people. And when I heard that, I finally understood why on the night I was moved to give this gift of myrrh. I also heard stories that he came back from the dead, and that he was seen by many people. I didn't see him again, so I can't personally testify to that. But what I can say is that when I heard these stories, I believed them. Because what I'll never forget is the feeling of sheer joy and life which I experienced just looking into the eyes of this boy and him looking into mine. It was as though he was already expecting me, and he knew me, and he loved me. And for reasons I could never fully explain, I became convinced that Herod should not know anything of what we had discovered. So when we left, we returned by the southern route. Let me tell you, that pass through the Zagros Mountains is very steep. It's almost impossible for camels, but that's the way we went. We were determined to avoid Jerusalem at all costs. A few years later, I heard through a colleague in Alexandria that the child with his mother and father had spent some years growing up there as a refugee in Egypt. I like to think that our gifts on that night made their journeying a little bit easier, or at least a little bit more affordable, because I also heard that Herod was furious that we had not given him the information about the child and that he ordered the killing of Bethlehem's infants. He's getting more and more like our own king every day. And that's my story. Thank you for listening.